Okay, good morning, everyone. Happy Pride Month. Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, also affectionately known as WUF. My name is James. I use the pronouns he and him. Me and my partner, Kenzer, have been coming here for about 6 months, and it is my privilege and my honor to serve as your lay leader this morning. Yeah. Woo, yes. We're all a little bit nervous, but it's going to be great. We have a really heart-opening service planned for you today, and we're lucky to have some of our own trans community members here from here at WUF taking part in the service this morning. So we'll be exploring gender, which may be a new topic for some of us, but everyone is welcome here, and you're welcome here whether today's topic feels really unfamiliar and overwhelming, or if today's topic is commonly discussed in your household. You're welcome regardless of your age or abilities, the color of your skin, whether you have spiritual beliefs, a particular faith, or none at all, and regardless of who you love and how you identify. I especially want to welcome newcomers and visitors this morning, whether you're with us here in person or you're joining us virtually. We have a coffee hour downstairs after the service, and we also have one online. So make sure you stick around afterwards for that. We have free treats usually. Before we begin, I want to invite Ashley Ulmer up here to share a few words from the board.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you, James and Kenzer. So excited for this morning's service. So my name is Ashley Ulmer. My pronouns are she and they. And I am a newly elected board member here at WUF. Could be you one day. I'd like to introduce the other board members in a minute. We thought that the congregation might like to know what the board is up to. Isn't that always a hot, burning question? Since generally we don't get many visitors at our meetings and we have an official congregational meeting only once a year, so after each board member or board meeting, Karen Stratton, our president, and the board thought that bringing you a board moment, which is what this is, would give you a quick update and remind you all who we are and that we're approachable and that we want to hear from you. And we want to hear what's important to you. The board members are going to take turns sharing these periodic updates, and today it's my turn because Karen was sick. Board members, please stand if you're willing and able when you're called so that people can put a face with a name. So Karen's not here today. Karen Stratton is our president. I'm Ashley Ulmer, vice president. Avin Xay continues to be our secretary. She's standing in the back. Howard Baldwin continues as our treasurer. And our other board members at large are John Riles, Hillary Greenbaum, Trish Neitzel, and Cheryl Radikowski. And we want to thank John Riles for his many years of service on the board, most recently serving as president. He's also here with us today. So now for the board moment. Our July meeting this past week focused on the paddle raise project for our annual auction. For those of you who don't know, WUF has an auction each year in October that helps raise money for our general fund. And we also include a paddle raise for a special project. And in the past, we've added the air condition to the sanctuary. We bought chairs for use downstairs. The board is responsible for choosing the project. This year, the board wants to align our paddle raise. Well, we choose the project, but we refer to like the recent visioning surveys that went out, and we do, you know, we'd like to know what's important to the congregation as well when making that choice. This year, the board wants to align our paddle raise project with our new adopted vision statement. What can we raise and spend money for that will promote our vision? We have two major ideas. The first is to improve the signage at Houston Road. As part of our service to the wider community, we want people to know that we are here and what we are doing. This project would include landscaping and a reader board. The second idea is to work on accessibility so that we can truly become people of all abilities into our spaces. We know we have an issue with getting people between floors of our building, and we're hoping our strategic planning process will help us identify a solution by the end of the year. An elevator is way more expensive than a paddle raise can pay for. Projects that are within the scope of the paddle raise could include building a smooth path for the patio into the woods for those who can't walk on the natural surface, as well as a lift chair that could help take people from the sanctuary floor up to the stage. If you have opinions about these projects, please seek out a board member and share your views, and thanks for listening to this board moment.
Thank you, Ashley. That was wonderful. To get started, I have a few questions for you all, just to gauge your familiarity with today's topic. So, by show of hand, who here knows what being transgender means? Okay, awesome. And who here has a close friend or family member who's trans? Wonderful. Love that for us. That's beautiful. Hello. Okay, yeah. So we're going to have an introduction video that's going to really, introduce the topic, if you will. And it'll just get everyone kind of on the same page about what we're talking about. So I hope you enjoy.
I'm a boy, but I always knew that I was a girl. My name is Rose. I'm a transgender girl. I was born a boy, but I always knew that I was a girl.
My name is Devon. I'm a trans male. That means I was born female, and I live now as a male.
Rose, I'm a transgender girl. I was born a boy, but I always knew that I was a girl.
My name is Devon. I'm a trans male. That means I was born female, and I live now as a male. When I was 3, I decided that I was going to grow up and be a father and marry Janet Jackson.
She would write letters to Santa Claus, to the Tooth Fairy. When would I be turned into a girl? Could you turn me into a girl?
I'm Jay. I'm a non-binary trans person. That means that I'm not a man, nor am I a woman. I was raised as a girl, but when I learned about non-binary gender identities, it was like a whole new world had opened up for me.
My name is Ronnie, and my sister Ellie is transgender.
Ellie told us on her 4th birthday that she was a girl in her heart and her brain. And I said, "You're my favorite princess boy." And what did you say, Ellie?
"No, I'm a princess girl."
My struggling point was, this had to be a phase.
The reality is, acceptance takes a while.
I was terrified of coming out. I was afraid of losing friends, family, loved ones. I was afraid of this discrimination and potential violence I could face.
I was so terrified that I wanted to die. I got threatening letters. One of the quotes said, "Do us a favor, Paula, and put that gun back up to your head and finish the job."
I'm scared as a dad for her safety, whether a society will be as accepting as her family and her friends are.
I feel embarrassed and unsafe when people out me to other people.
If there isn't a gender-neutral bathroom available, when there are only men's and women's bathrooms, I have to make a decision about how I look that day and whether there's more risk for me going into the men's room or the women's room.
I was chased by 4 people in the metro for being transgender.
I have been denied health care. I have been gawked at. I've been humiliated. I have been physically assaulted several times when using a bathroom.
Seeing her face the first time we let her wear a dress outside of the house,
pretty special.
You're different, that's okay. Just keep on being yourself.
Support means listening. Maybe not understanding, but just listening and being there for me.
Pushing back on jokes or offensive comments at the expense of transgender people.
The easiest way to support transgender people is to follow their lead.
Supporting transgender people means letting them be who they are.
I'm proud to be trans because I want to be myself.
I'm proud to be trans because I think life is too short to be anything besides what you are. This is who I am.
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 Yay. One term that the video didn't use that I thought was missing was the word misgender. And misgendering someone is simply referring to someone with the wrong pronouns. And I just want to briefly remind everyone that it's not the end of the world if you misgender someone, and we're all human. So just correct yourself, move on, don't make a huge scene, because drawing a bunch of attention to yourself, and it's too much. You just move on. It's okay. So Kelly will be our song leader today, and will guide us in our opening hymn, How Can Anyone Ever Tell You?, which is number 1053 in the teal hymnal. And Betsy, if you could play it through once for us before we start singing. And then we'll sing it twice through, and the words will be on the screen.
How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul.
So for those of us who are here in person, it's our custom to take a minute to look around and greet our neighbors, especially those we don't already know. And while you're at it, you can have a chance to practice sharing your pronouns with each other. We can finish these conversations with coffee at the end. Thank you so much. Welcome back. So we're going to begin this service by lighting the chalice, a symbol of our shared faith. And I invite Lucy up to light our chalice this morning. And I invite everyone else to join me in the responsive reading that will be projected behind me, hopefully. May the spirit of life catch fire as we light this chalice.
May then, gifts, all that we are, come unto us as we gather this morning in an ever-present circle of community.
Sing in our hearts as we open them to all that is and all that is possible.
May we open ourselves to all that is possible. May the flame of love burn strong both in and around us, as we do our part in giving life to shape us of justice.
Keep us rooted in our commitment to celebrate wholeness even as we fly free. Now sing Spirit of Life together. Hopefully you all know the words. Mm-hmm. By Esme Fife Adams and is titled Gender and Platonic Ideals. Esme, will you come up and share it with us?
Hello, can you hear me? There we go. Okay. I'm Esme. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm happy to be here. Gender is a performance. This isn't a new concept. People have been examining how we perform gender for years, but it still bears repeating. Gender, even for the most cisgender, heterosexual people, is a performance. It comes with a script, with costumes, with cues to watch for. In philosophy, a Platonic ideal is the purest, most essential form of something, whether that be a concept or a physical object. For example, think of a dog. The Platonic ideal of a dog encapsulates everything that makes a dog, while excluding anything that would make it not a dog. However, this perfect, most dog-like dog does not exist. Everything in the natural world is simply an imitation of its ideal form, and nothing can fulfill every criterion for its assigned nature. Think, then, about the Platonic ideals you have of the most perfect man and the most perfect woman. Perhaps your ideas are based on how you were raised, or the media you've consumed. It's based on the people you've admired and the people you've envied. That man at work who gets paid more than you and goes on rugged wilderness trips on the weekend, and his wife, the mom at school who always hand-makes her kids' lunches, volunteers for every event, and shows up looking perfect, even at 7 in the morning. Their son is good at math and sports and video games, and their daughter is nice to everyone and loves ballet and princesses. Their grandma has a warm, cozy house and bakes the best chocolate chip cookies in town, and their grandpa is a grizzled but gentle veteran who always has the best stories. You might look at those people and think that they are the ideal family, the ideal people, because they fulfill various gender roles and stereotypes. But human beings aren't that simple. Each of us is so infinitely complex, so full of contradictions, that we can't be simply categorized by stereotypical gendered traits. Transgender people identify as a gender not because they feel they would better fit the Platonic ideal of that gender, better than the one they were assigned at birth, but because they are that gender. That little boy who's really good at math and sports and video games could grow up and realize that she's a trans woman. That wouldn't make her interest in quote-unquote boy activities suddenly invalid or make her less of a woman. Just as a cisgender woman being good at math or sports or video games doesn't make her less of a woman. And both that cis woman and that trans woman will probably spend their entire lives attempting to perform their genders in a way that will make them societally acceptable for their culture's gender norms. I know this is complicated, and it probably won't make sense to everyone, so I'll leave you with this to think about. What gender roles do you fit into, and which do you break? What parts of yourself do you show to the world, and what about those things you show makes them feel admirable, makes them feel worth showing? If you were born a different gender, would those things be different too? Thank you.
Okay. Oh, and Kelly, it's your turn. Look at that. Okay.
My lady's story, my lady's story, my lady's story is one of annihilation. My lady's story is one of breast amputation. My lady's story. My lady's story. I'm a hole in love. I'm a bride on fire. I'm a twist into a star. Oh, wow. My lady's story. My lady's story. Lying rolling for you, and I've been your slave. My womb's an ocean full of grief and rage. Ooh. My lady's story, my lady's story. My lady's story, my lady's story. And still you're coaxing me, come on out and live. I'm but a crippled dog, I've got nothing to give. My lady's story, my lady's story, my lady's story, Lord, my lady's story. I'm so broken, baby, but I want to see shining eyes. Lost this beauty, lost this beauty.
Thank you, Kelly. That was beautiful. This is the time in our service when we pause to reflect on the gifts that we have received from this abundant earth and the generous spirit of community, to consider what it is that we have given and what it is that we're grateful for. During the musical interlude, please consider the gifts that you have to offer the Wolf community. Whether it be financial support or the gift of your time or talent, know that we are grateful for your offering. If the ushers could come forward, please. Please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. If there's any children that are not already in the front row, please come up, and Izzy will lead us in Time for All Ages. Miami.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I am Izzy, the RE director here at WOOF, which means I'm in charge of what the kids do after they leave the service and go to their classrooms. Today, they're going to go outside and do a little kids' Olympics because the Olympics just started, and so they're going to play some games outside and hang out and talk about that. The book I have today is called When Aiden Became a Big Brother. When Aiden was born, everyone thought he was a girl. His parents gave him a pretty name, his room looked like a girl's room, and he wore clothes that other girls liked wearing. But as Aiden got bigger, he hated the sound of his name. He felt like his room belonged to someone else, and he always ripped or stained his clothes accidentally, on purpose. Everyone thought he was just a different kind of girl. Some girls had rooms full of science experiments and bug collections. Lots of girls didn't wear dresses. But Aiden didn't feel like any kind of a girl. He was really another kind of boy. It was hard to tell his parents what he knew about himself, but it was even harder not to. It took everyone some time to adjust, but they learned a lot from other families with transgender kids just like him. Aiden explored different ways of being a boy. He tried out lots of names until one stuck. They changed his bedroom into a place he belonged, and he took much better care of his new clothes. Then one day, Mom and Dad had something to tell him. "I'm gonna have a baby," Mom said. "A baby?" Aiden said. "Does that mean I get to be a big brother?" "Of course," said Dad, ruffling his hair. Aiden thought that being a big brother was an important job for a boy like him. He wanted to make sure this baby would feel understood right away. The baby needed clothes, so Aiden and his mom went shopping. There were so many choices. Would the baby like seahorses or penguins better? "Are you having a boy or a girl?" asked the lady. Aiden didn't like it when people asked it if he was a boy or a girl, and he hoped the baby couldn't hear yet. He was glad when Mom just smiled and said, "I'm having a baby." The baby's room needed to be painted, so Aiden and his dad went to the hardware store. Dad chose a gallon of sky blue paint, and Aiden added a puffy cloud white. "Are you excited for your new brother or sister?" asked the paint guy. "I'm excited to be a big brother," Aiden said. The paint guy looked confused. Aiden could tell that he wanted to ask a different question. He was glad to have his dad there. The big rollers were fun to paint with. "This room feels like being outside," Aiden exclaimed. He had always felt trapped in his bedroom before they fixed it, but his new sibling wouldn't have to feel that way. "You're right," said Dad. "Let's make shapes in the clouds." Babies needed someone to read to them, so Aiden practiced and practiced and practiced. Dad wanted to teach Aiden how to change diapers. Maybe later," said Aiden. He decided that picking flowers for his mom was more important. 2 weeks before the baby's due date, Aiden started to worry. Maybe he should have picked different clothes. Maybe the blue walls would be too bright. He wished he could ask the baby which name they liked best. Mom came to tuck him in. "Are you feeling okay, sweetie?" she asked. Aiden put his hands over where he thought the baby's ears would be. "Do you think the baby will be happy with everything? I don't want them to feel like I did when I was little, but what if I get everything wrong? What if I don't know how to be a good big brother?" Mom hugged him tight. "When you were born, we didn't know you were going to be our son. We made mistakes, but you helped us fix them. You taught us how important it is to love someone for exactly who they are. The baby is so lucky to have you, and so are we." The next morning, Aiden found boxes of his old baby pictures. He looked so different back then. It hadn't been easy, but he liked the boy he had grown into. Maybe everything wouldn't be perfect for this baby. Maybe he would have to fix mistakes he didn't even know he was making. And maybe that was okay. Aiden knew how to love someone, and that was the most important part of being a big brother. Before we sing the kids out to their classrooms, I just want to say that WOOF Family Camp is coming up in August. If you haven't registered for that, if you'd like to attend, you can visit woof.org, or you can email me at dre@woof.org. And if you can't attend but you'd like to donate to help out with our scholarship or with our purchases for food and items that we use at Family Camp, you can make donations directly on our website as well. So now you can stand up and we'll form arches across the aisles and sing the kids to their classrooms.
Virginia are going to lead us in singing Everything Possible. Not sure what the number is in the hymn, but the lyrics will be on the screen.
1019.
Do you know which one? In the teal hymnal. Okay, you guys already know.
I will see. in this world. Goodness, love, and beauty grow within and all around us. Together, we create a circle of celebration, deep enough to hold all of our joys in life. There is so much pain in this world. Each of us knows loss and suffering. And together, here, we create a circle of compassion, wide enough to hold all the sorrow in our lives. On the chalice table, there is a bowl of water. The water represents our community of compassion that bears all the sorrows. The water is also the community of celebration that shares all the joys. When the music begins, please come forward if you feel moved to do so, and place a stone in the bowl of water. If you would like, you may use the mic to share your joy or sorrow in a few words. As you come up front, please approach from this aisle. From this aisle, and return from this aisle. And you may start.
Gratitude and joy that I can live in this amazing community. I had an opportunity to come by this week to take care of a little business, and our beehive was buzzing. And it's just so wonderful to see people taking care of and loving our home.
I'm just so proud of these guys doing the service today. And I'm filled with so much joy for them, and because I get to go to Arizona and Harper gets to come home with us at the end of the week.
I grew up here at Wolf. It was a very supportive community to me. And right now I'm going through a lot of transition that's been rather painful around the housing crisis and having to let go of my tiny house because it wasn't a place to put it. And now I'm at my root home here with my folks for a moment, and I would love it if I could make some friends to spend this time with as I go through this change. Thank you so much. It's really good to be here.
We came here years ago because this was a safe place for our kids on their gender journey, and I am so thrilled to see so many more kids here than there was 5 years ago, and I'm just so thankful that everyone here has made it so open and welcoming for everyone of every stripe. My father recently passed away, and it's been quite a transition for all of us. May you finally rest in peace. In my 20 years here, so I don't think I've ever been more proud of my community here. We just do such great things, and what everybody says about feeling safe means the world to me, so yay us.
I grew up in a UU church down in Utah, so this is a stone of joy for finding a new community here in Portland that has been so supportive, and I'm happy to be here.
And I'm gonna place two stones. One is for all the trans people that didn't get the privilege to grow old. And one is for the joys and sorrows left unsaid. And now we're going to have a moment of silence. And Esme will lead us into the next part of the service with a song.
Hello. I just wanted to introduce this song. It's by the singer Demi Lovato. And a few years ago, they came out as non-binary and said to the public, I want to use they, them pronouns. And the media ignored them and didn't use their proper pronouns. And then they ended up basically saying, okay, fine, I'll use she, her again, because it's exhausting having to correct everyone all the time. And this song is about their experience with that. Move this a little bit. Be more predictable, be less political. Be more predictable, be less political. Not too original, keep in tradition, but stay individual. Dirty but washable, winning but stoppable. All that I'm hearing is you want to make the impossible possible. Is this what you'd all prefer? Would you like me better if I was still her? Did she make your mouths water? I know the part I've played before. I know the stuff that I've ignored. I know the girl that you adored. She's dead, it's time for you to mourn. I can't spoon feed you anymore. Can't spoon feed you anymore. Dinner's served, it's on the floor. I can't spoon feed you anymore. You'll have to eat me as I am. You'll have to eat me as I am. Clean, digestible, less of a spectacle. More unintentional, try to be sexy, but don't be too sexual. Please be presentable, bit more accessible. Get up on your pedestal, everyone's watching, so don't be forgettable. Longer hair and tighter clothes. Would you like me better if I didn't oppose? Silver platters, pretty bows. I know the part I've played before. I know the stuff that I've ignored. I know the girl that you adored. She said it's time for you to mourn. I can't spoon feed you anymore. Can't spoon feed you anymore. Dinner served, it's on the floor. I can't spoon feed you anymore. You'll have to eat me as I am. You'll have to eat me as I am. I can't spoon feed you anymore. Dinner served, it's on the floor. I can't spoon feed you anymore. You'll have to eat me as I am. You'll have to eat me as I am. You'll have to eat me as I am. You'll have to eat me as I am.
Loved that. That was great. Thank you so much, Esme. We are running out of time. However, we're going to have a discussion on stage with some trans community members from here at WOOF. So if everyone could come up and get your seats. We're just going to ask a few of the questions, not all of them. But if you want to continue the discussion downstairs afterwards, come talk to us. We would love to hear from you. Okay, hello, welcome. It's me still. First, if we could start by just introducing yourself, name, pronouns, any trans stuff you want to. I can go first. My name's James. I use he, him pronouns. I'm almost 4 years on testosterone. I had top surgery 2 years back. I love being a boy. Woo!
I'm Kenzer. I'm non-binary, and I use the pronouns he, him. And it's been like 4 years, I think. 4 years of coolness.
Yeah.
I'm Kelly. I use she, her pronouns. I'm a trans woman. I've been on hormone therapy for a bit over 2 years. I've been out since 2019. Yeah.
I'm Esme. I'm non-binary. I use they, them pronouns. I have questioned my gender since I was about 13 or 14. Still don't really know what it is. I'm 21 now. I haven't figured it out, but I know that I'm not a cisgender woman, so.
Relatable. my name's Liz or Izzy. My pronouns are less important than you might think, despite my gender presentation. I've swung pretty masculine in the last couple of years. I started testosterone, had top surgery. If you were present, was that last year? Salim and I did a service for Pride, and I, you know, talked about my gender a lot. So you can go back and watch that if you're more curious.
Awesome. Well, I'm having fun. Are you guys having fun? Is it okay if we go over a little bit? Is that fine? Okay, cool. Because otherwise, anyway, okay.
If you do need to go get your kids, or actually if somebody could run down and tell Cade that we might go over by a few minutes, and then if you need to go get your kids, feel free to go and get them.
Or if you get really hungry and you need a snack downstairs, we understand.
You can still watch us on the monitor downstairs.
So, do you guys want to talk about the video? Did you feel like that completely represented you? Do you feel like there's more to be said? I felt like the fact that they only had one non-binary person who was very androgynous didn't encapsulate everything. Like, I think that obviously, there's a lot of ways that you can be trans, but there's also a lot of ways that you can be non-binary, and you don't necessarily have to look ambiguously not quite male or female to be that way. That was kind of my thing.
Yeah, I agreed. As someone who's non-binary, I've presented more androgynous in the past, but right now I present very femininely, and it can be really hard to explain to people, like, yes, I'm still non-binary even though I have long hair and I wear mostly women's clothes and stuff like that because it's just more convenient for everyday life. So I'll just let people misgender me, and I wish there'd be a little bit more awareness in the public eye, not just of like non-binary people who fit the standard of what, you know, the platonic ideal of a non-binary person, and you know, non-binary people who present as their gender assigned at birth, and it's still, they're still a they, they're still non-binary, and they're still valid.
I guess I have a question about that. When you are misgendered, do you want other people who are there to correct the person who misgendered you? Do you want to let it go? Like, I feel like sometimes it's situation by situation, but when I hear that someone's being misgendered,
usually my response is to go, oh, he said, you know, like to then say a sentence using the correct pronoun, not directly be like, their pronouns are. That's like so tricky when you're being misgendered, right? Because it really probably does not happen to cis people that often. And so we don't have a lot of like cultural scripts for how to deal with that. We have to decide in the moment, is it safe to do so? How are we going to do it? Is someone else going to stick up for me? Yeah. And that's why it's important to use someone's pronouns.
And I prepare beforehand.
Yeah.
We go, is this one where you're going to correct people or is this one where you're not going to correct people? And like very commonly I'm like, you can't correct them wherever we're going to be. It's not going to be worth it this time. I'll take the hit. And other times when we're like, oh, we're correcting. But it's
so
like,
watch out, we're going to correct you.
Yeah, here we correct. Here we watch.
Hey, you better be on your best behavior. Yeah. Checking, okay?
Good practice. Yeah, if you didn't hear Betsy, if you don't know someone's pronouns and you're just meeting them, they, them is probably the safest bet. If you're talking about someone across the room, even if they present a certain way, they, them is probably the best bet if you don't know for sure.
And once you do learn for sure, switch to that. Like if you're just like, oh, cool, whatever, I'll just call everyone they, them. That is not the serve that you may think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, especially if someone is trans and does not use they, them pronouns, like that hurts. That's no pun. I was gonna say, I think correcting people, like the verbiage you use depends on if they know already. Like if this person doesn't know that that person's trans.
Supposed to be my job.
Okay, bye. Then I think you would say like, oh, by the way, this person's trans, they use this name and these pronouns. But if they should know better, you can just like, you know, step in.
Yeah, for me, I tend to, like, I never correct people about my own pronouns. I think it's because it's really scary. It's really, like, embarrassing sometimes. So I always appreciate it when other people correct people for me, and I will do the same for them. It's just, I think a lot of trans and non-binary people don't want to be a bother. At least that's my experience, is feeling like, oh, well, I don't want to bother. I don't want to interrupt the conversation, even though it's like my literal identity. So that's just one thing to keep in mind, is if you have a trans friend or a trans family member, they may not correct you all the time. They may not like go out of their way, but that doesn't mean they don't feel it and they don't notice. It just means that they don't necessarily feel comfortable correcting, and so yeah, that's just something to keep in the noggin.
Also, it's just a lot of effort that cis people don't have to go through.
Like, I don't want to have to correct everyone all the time, because y'all don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Izzy.
My name's Demetra, and I'm a transgender individual. I go by she, her, but there are times in the grocery store that there's this lady that always uses the pronoun sir with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let that pass because I don't bother correcting her because I know her. And she's just always calling. She's a Indian lady, and I always know, and I know her pretty well, in Walmart. And I don't mind. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I don't get misgendered that often. So,
is there someone in the fourth row that has a question?
I also don't get misgendered that often. They're all cool with me.
My name is Eva, and I haven't been here before.
Welcome.
Sorry, I just spilled a drink.
I was going to ask you guys to talk about gender euphoria, because a lot of the talk about misgendering is really negative, but when you said after you learn someone's pronouns, it's kind of a gift to use that for them, mm-hmm. and I think it's a better way to think about it either, other than I'm messing up, oh crud, I messed up, I used the wrong pronoun. You can think of it as I'm giving someone joy by using the correct pronoun. So would you guys talk about gender euphoria?
Well, would you believe it? Yeah. What is something big or small that makes you feel gender euphoria? Is one of the questions. Do you guys want to talk about that?
Personally, something that makes me feel gender euphoria is someone just seeing me, not looking at me and in their head. You know, we have, like, in The Incredibles, when there's, like, the lasers and they're, like, checking to see everything. Mm-hmm. We do that for people. It's just, it's natural. I love it when people don't do that to me. And they hear me speak, and they listen to what I have to say, and they hear my name. I tell them my pronouns. And they just get to know who I am. And they're not putting me into a category of a man or a woman or this category of age or whatever. Just get to know me. And I can see it in the person I'm talking to when they're just treating me as Kenzer, someone they're getting to know. And that makes me feel gender euphoria because I try to do the same thing for everyone. Mm-hmm.
The way a leather jacket fits me now.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
I was a theater kid in high school, and I felt a lot of gender euphoria when I would get considered or cast in male roles, because while I feel comfortable playing both male and female roles, it was just really affirming to know that, like, oh, people see me as mask enough to pull off this role. Mm-hmm. And I think my ideal gender presentation is just a purely like androgynous ethereal elven prince. That's what I want to be, but that's not really possible to do in real life, so getting to play that right. is really fun, at least for a little bit. You know, also playing like D&D and getting to play a male character, or writing or reading and getting to read out loud or write as a male character, just, you know, it helps me feel like, yeah, like, I am non-binary. I'm not just faking it for attention, because I actually feel really good, actually better when I do this than when I don't do this. So.
More about performing gender. I totally understand. I, unfortunately, did theater. I took a turn, you know, but it's behind us now. And I would audition for male roles, and they'd be like, that is so interesting, girly pop. What is going on here? And then I would simply not get cast, and I was devastated. And they'd be like, you got a good role. And I was like, curses. Mm-hmm. And now what makes me feel gender euphoria is, like, getting dressed up, but in a boy way. Like, before, I would, like, try to, like, get a dress on and, like, make my waist as tiny as possible and, like, make myself really small and be like, okay, I'm going to be, like, you know, polite. I'm going to sit up really straight and I'm going to, like, you know, be like a little doll. And now I just put on some freaking dress shoes and cologne and I'm like, hey, what's up? What's good? And that feels a lot more comfortable, even though it's not, like, essential to who I am. Like, it feels like a fun way to dress up rather than, like, an oppressive way to dress up. I don't know.
I think Izzy has, like, two more questions.
Okay, go ahead.
This is more of a comment. As an 80-year-old grandmother who has a 15-year-old grandchild, mm-hmm. who changed their name from Naomi to Ozzy. And that's been since they were 13. Do you hear me practicing? Because when I speak to they, I make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I go, Naomi, Jeanette. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Ozzy. And they will say, that's okay, Grandma. It's your generation.
Yeah. It's actually not generational. I was reading about this, so our brains categorize people. And once you've put somebody in a category, it's really, really hard to switch it because we're social people and that's what we do. So forgive yourself and just, like what was said, oh, sorry, I made a mistake. We're moving on. You don't need to make a big deal about it. You don't even really need to say that. Just correct yourself and move on.
Put them in a different filing cabinet in your brain.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, my grandmother used to mess up my name before I came out.
Lex has a hand. That's my partner.
Woo! Trans love.
They are also a they.
I'm still in the closet with my family. I've never really come out to them because I know that they won't accept that. And I used to, just when I was talking about Esme, me being queer at all was already a controversial topic in my family and something that they were trying to learn how to accept. So I would prefer, I would end up using she, her pronouns to refer to Esme just because I, didn't want to like have that conversation, and it wasn't until I slipped up in a FaceTime call with my mom and I said they, and she immediately went, no, it's she. And I realized how awful it was to like keep misgendering my partner to someone who doesn't love them the way that I do, because it's not worth it to misrepresent them to somebody who has no place in my life right now. So I think as long as you're not being like, if you're not maliciously misgendering like fixing someone else's gender of your, like if you're saying a pronoun, like as long as you're not being malicious, it's always worth it to try to be supportive. And that's all. Yeah.
Thanks, Lex.
I think we're probably out of time.
Yeah, one more.
One more.
One more question. Save the rest for downstairs.
We'll be downstairs.
I just was going to ask about, towards the point of normalization, you know, you talk about cisgender, people don't have to fret about who's correcting or, you know, being misgendered and how you're going to process that in a given scenario. So towards normalizing in spaces that you value, the social dynamics, are these types of conversations ongoing, these circles, these learning, teaching, sharing, valuable in, like I said, in the spaces that you want to be in social community, to have ongoing, or is this, would this be too much type of panel communication, talking, sharing? Would that be too much on an ongoing basis, or is that a valuable step?
I'm a gender studies major, so I'm always down to talk about gender theory, just from an academic perspective, as well as a personal one. So I would enjoy getting to just talk more about the fact that gender is abstract, because I think once people get it in their heads that gender is not a fixed thing that is set at birth, It's fluid even for cis people. I think it's beneficial for everyone in a community, but at the same time, I also know that it shouldn't be the burden of explanation on trans people in a community to have to always be telling people, like, this is what it means to be trans. Like, so I think I'll let you guys talk, but I think it just depends on the person and what their interests are and what they like to talk about and how comfortable they feel.
I think also, like, yeah, we're trans. But that's not all we are. So if every single time you see us, you're like, hey, and I've got another trans question for you. You're not going to feel great. But if you're like, hey, I have some questions. Do you think we could get coffee sometime so I can learn and grow? I would be like, for sure. But also, ask me about the weather. Ask me about the day, you know, because we all are multifaceted people and we are, you know, knowledgeable about being trans. But also, like, we have to live this experience every day, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's euphoric and incredible. This is really euphoric and incredible, but, yeah.
The one thing I wanted to add, too, is, like, and I think generally this goes for many trans people, but if I am in a space and I'm not sure what the vibes are, I don't know if I'm safe or not, I don't know if people know I'm trans, I don't know if I can talk about it, and someone starts asking me questions in front of everyone, I get really scared. But if they say, hey James, like, can we talk over here for a second? Hi, what are your pronouns? Like, what, you know, or whatever question they have, I'm happy to answer that. But I'm pretty sure for everyone, like, don't ask them in front of a big group because it really puts them on the spot. And in most spaces, I would say, makes them feel uncomfortable because they're not going to know how every single person is going to react or if every single person is going to be like, awesome, cool, like, I don't know, supportive.
Thank you. I think we are way over time.
We are way over time. Woo! Okay, I'm going to extinguish the chalice really quick. I have a little piece of script here, and then we're going to sing Carry the Flame. So if the front half could turn around and face the back, and we join hands, I will now extinguish this chalice. May the love continue.